Welcome to the old school meeting of Overeaters Anonymous, featuring speakers with long-term abstinence. This meeting was born online, and it's going to stay that way. That means you can attend live on Tuesday evenings at 6:30 Pacific. And now, our speaker.
It's now time for me to tell you what I was like, what happened, and what I'm like now, including how and why I stay abstinent. As I said, my name is Debbie. I am a compulsive overeater. And thank you, Ira, for asking me to share. I have to be honest, this is not my favorite thing to do. But I am grateful to be able to be of service today. My abstinence date is September 7th, 1992. My abstinence is no sugar or sugar-free desserts, no bread or bread-type stuff. And, excuse me. That is what I've perfectly abstained from. And my experience is the rest of my food has been imperfect. And I say this because prior to coming to the program, I was either attempting to be on some insane diet, or if I went one inch over the, not even an inch, an iota over the line, I would just say, forget it. That really wasn't what I said, but I won't swear. And I was like totally in the food. So there was no middle ground for me before I got here, which is why today being in the middle ground is a miraculous to me. Anyway, I am the oldest of two kids, two girls, and both of my parents and my sister passed away because of effects of this disease. My dad was 65, my sister was 50, and my mom was 70. And I am 67 now, so I'm close to outliving my mom. And both my mom and my sister developed adult onset diabetes, which if I had kept going the way I was going, there it's 100% that would have happened to me. It still might, but it's a definite sure thing that if I kept eating sugar the way I was eating sugar, that definitely would have happened. Anyway, as a kid, I was confused. That probably sums up all of it. I was very confused. At home, I was the thin one because I was smaller than the rest of them. But at school, I was fat. So I was totally confused. From the get-go, I was fearful, uncomfortable in my skin, and very body conscious. I mean, even as a little kid. And I don't have a lot of memories of my childhood because I was either eating or fantasizing. I just wanted out. And I remember having a thought at 4 years old, thinking, I've got to get out of here. It, for real. And I always thought until recently that as a kid that I wanted to move. But I think really what I meant was, I want to get out of here myself. And because I was miserable. And I'm not saying that everybody as a compulsive overeater is miserable. That was my experience. And food was my solution. When I could check out eating, I didn't have to think. And that was relief for me. And, you know, I am somebody who never exercised, and I mean never. I literally did not want to get up from my chair and walk from here to there. I would have these fantasies of like some little flying chair that I could use to fly to school because I didn't want to walk two blocks. I mean, I really was not of the exercisers. And my mother told me that we were not athletic. And I thought, that is the best news ever. Pass. I'll live from here to here. And that is how I live. And as much as I could like deny being in my own skin, that was good with me. And, you know, like I remember at a slumber party that I was dying to be included, just so wanted to be included. I remember at the slumber party, everybody's in the other room telling stories, laughing. And I was in the kitchen scrounging around, finding whatever food I could eat. And that was just one example of, you know, how I was during my childhood, because I just was obsessed. And I'm in AA also. I smoked a lot of pot. And I will say, pot and food go together very, very well. I would get stoned and I would, and anyway, obviously the pot was a problem as well as a myriad of other things because I'm sober a year and a half longer than I am in OA. Anyway, fast forward to when I was an adult, I would go on many different diets, which I alluded to before. And I could stop. I was a very, very good little dieter. And I could get down to whatever the number was that I needed to get down to. And I was usually, I won't swear. So anyway, I was a witch. There we go. That'll work. When I was when I was not eating sugar and I was on my little diet, I was horrible to be around because I didn't have my solution, but I would get down to the number and it was literally like visiting a relative. I would get there, I'd visit, and then I was off and I could not stay stopped. I just couldn't, excuse me. And usually after my diet, I would gain even more weight than I had lost. Anyway, my last big diet was I was working at a clothing company, a large size ladies clothing company, and a whole group of us that worked there decided we were going to Weight Watchers. And Weight Watchers is, in my experience, and I'm not, you know, don't have vast experience, but in my experience, a very forgiving food plan. And I could not do one day. I still have some of the sheets, pre-printed sheets here someplace because I need to remember. I could not do one day. I could do a meal, but I couldn't do the whole day. And as I said, I had come to AA and food was a problem my whole life. But when I got to AA and got sober, it went through the moon. And I would obsess like all day long at work. I don't know how I had any time to work. I'd think I'm going to stop at that fast food place. I'm not. I'm literally like fighting with myself all day long. I don't know how I got any work done. It was like playing mental tennis and it would occupy my thoughts half the day. And usually, you know, I would say, I would resolve, I'm not going to stop. And I always stop. So I had a friend that I knew from before getting sober, who I knew was in OA. And excuse me, I had tried to come when I was very, very newly sober. And it really made things much worse. And my AA sponsor, just my experience, my AA sponsor said, you might want to try working the steps in AA before you try to take something else on. So after a year and a half, I was literally miserable with the food. And I called my friend and asked her to take me to an OA meeting. And that was September 7th, 1992. And my Seppi's here someplace. My AA sponsor said, here's Seppi. She's going to be your sponsor. And I said, okay. I was literally like the deer in the headlights. And Seppi is my sponsor today. Long time. Long time she's put up with me. Saint Seppi. Anyway, I'm really, really grateful to have a sponsor that I can talk to who was extremely patient with me and who worked the steps with me in a way that was workable for me. And I worked the steps with her by doing something from How. I was never in How, but there are first 30-day questions that take you through steps 1, 2, and 3. And they refer to the Big Book and the 12 and 12, which, you know, is from our mothership and, you know, the first literature that was written. So I do read the OA 12 and 12, but the first time that I worked the steps in OA, I used the AA literature because that was what she had done and that's what she gave to me. I also wrote the How inventory, which I don't know if any of you know. It's like 180 questions. And if I had known when I started it that that's what it was going to be, I never would have written question one. That would have been enough. Anyway, but, you know, it was extremely revealing to me. I've also done many inventories using the columns and looking at my part. But, you know, when I went to work step two, I believed that there was a God. And there's a line in the Big Book that says, either God is or he isn't. What is your decision to be? And, you know, I knew that there was a higher power. I just did not think that higher power or God had anything to do with me, for sure, or definitely not my food. I was told to get on my knees and ask whatever God I didn't believe in to keep me abstinent and sober in the morning and to thank that higher power for doing so at the end of the day. And I took those actions that I really didn't believe in. And the step two in the AA 12 and 12 talks about that, you know, I didn't know at what time or what occasion, what it was that happened that let me understand that I did, in fact, have a relationship with a higher power. And I developed that relationship by taking actions I did not think would work. And, excuse me, that's really been my experience with everything in this program is taking actions. You know, there's a line in the Big Book, I think it's in Bill's story, that talks about the program as being a practical program of action. And that that really is what my experience has been, is taking actions that I don't think are going to work and lo and behold, getting results that were unexpected. And excuse me, when I was new, I learned how to commit my food. I did not want to commit my food. That was none of anybody's business, but sure enough, I started committing my food. I stopped.
5 minutes?
Thank you. I stopped for a period of time, but I don't even know how many years ago I started committing my food again because my sponsor said that maybe I should start doing it. And I thought, I'm not doing that, but I started doing it again anyway. And I still send my food every day. Excuse me. I write a gratitude list every day with the group of women that I sponsor and with my sponsor, which is just, honestly, it's a joy. It really is. And I am immensely grateful for what I've been given in this program. So sometimes I have to remove things from my list because I don't want people to have to read for so long. You know, anyway, that I am truly, truly grateful. I decided when I was relatively new that a friend of mine had really thin thighs and she was a runner. So I decided I'm going to learn how to run. Somebody said to me, why don't you learn how to walk first? And that's me though, you know, from 0 to 60. Anyway, I learned how to walk. It was extremely weird for me because I was such a sedentary person. But I will say I had to get on my knees and ask my higher power for the willingness to do so for a year. It may have even been longer before I was even willing to walk. Then, because of learning how to walk, I asked my friend how she learned how to run. And she literally like coached me through figuring out how to run. And from somebody who's a sedentary person, I actually ran a couple of marathons. So if you don't think that there's a God, from somebody who did not want to get up from their chair and go to the bathroom to run marathons, that is not my will. Trust me. It is a higher power that gave me the willingness and the ability to do so. I sponsor other women, which is probably the greatest cash and prizes you could ever get in the program, because to see other people, you know, get it or get just even get abstinence is such a gift, huge gift. And even if it's not somebody I sponsor, if it's somebody that I can be of service to, that for me is like the greatest gift. I take a lot of commitments. I try to be of service at every opportunity. I try to ask for help as often as possible. And for me, that's an essential component of staying abstinent. I need to know where my limits are, and whether it's asking my higher power for help or asking somebody else, I need to be able to do that. And for me, I believe that my higher power, which I call God, speaks to me through other people. So if I'm asking someone in the program for help, I have to trust that that answer is coming from a place that's not from me. And I was talking with somebody I sponsor today about surrender and about taking the third step. And somebody explained to me that the word surrender means to join the winning side. And I can tell you for sure, I am not on the winning side. What I was doing prior to coming to the program, not a winning combination. It was misery for me and probably for anybody that was around me. By being willing to do it your way, to work the steps, to listen to someone else, to ask for help, to ask God for humility, for patience, and the ability to do things that I didn't think that I could do, I've really been given an amazing life. And it's not the outside life, it's the inside life. You know, it's having happiness in my day. You know, the ability to do things even if I don't want to. And I will tell you, I have still have that voice. I know I need to wrap it up. In my head all day long, like I don't want to. Even where exercise is, or especially where exercise is concerned. And the gift that I've been given is to learn how to take the action regardless of what's going on in my head. So I hope, I know I've kind of been all over the place. I hope that I said something that helped someone, especially Dina. Welcome. Glad that you're here, and anybody else that's new. So thank you so much for asking me.